Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. Illness and disease. You know, there's two pieces of wisdom, and they're going to seem mutually exclusive, but they're not. The first piece is the awareness that our highest goal in this human birth has nothing to do with health and longevity. It has to do with awakening. All of our scriptures, all of our spiritual teachings remind us over and over again, the purpose of your life is to wake up and know who you are. And for some people, based on their lifetimes of a karmic package, that is most conducive to happen in a situation of financial success. For some, it's more conducive to happen in a situation of what we would call poverty. For some people, it's more conducive to happen in success. For others, it's more conducive to happen in what we would call failure. For others, it's going to happen during a long, healthy life. For others, it's going to happen faced with a serious and even terminal illness. But the goal is always the same, which is the awareness of who you are and what the universe's agenda is. Not that we should be either wealthy or successful or have a super long life, but that we should have the exact situations and circumstances that are the most likely to help us have that awakening in this lifetime. And so whatever we are faced with, to take it as not a punishment, also not a reward. It's not, oh, you're rich, therefore you were really good in a past life and you've been rewarded. Or, oh, you're poor, you must have done something wrong, you're being punished. That's just our Western sort of Santa Claus has a list of who's been good or bad kind of filter that we've stuck on a law of karma that has nothing to do with rewards and punishments. We're not being rewarded or punished. Because the universe has no agenda regarding wealth, regarding success, regarding longevity. We're just getting those circumstances most conducive for us to take the next step closer to God, to peel back the next layer of the onion of self. So when we're faced with those sorts of circumstances, the question is, how am I supposed to use this circumstance to get closer to God? How am I supposed to see this as my path to God? And it doesn't mean, by the way, that we say, therefore, I'm never going to work to change it. But in this moment, this is my path. That's why it's in front of me. And so I need to use this moment, whether it's illness, whether it's failure, poverty, loss, whatever I've been hit with that we would think is really not what I had wanted. The question is, how do I use this to get closer to God? And by the way, that's the same question to ask when you've got success and money and health as well. That's the question for everyone. Tragically, we just usually only remember to ask it when the situations are unfavorable rather than favorable. Favorable conditions, we feel like, yeah, I'm so good, I deserve all of this. I worked hard, that's why I succeeded. God loves me, that's why everything good is happening to me. And, you know, so we forget. So the question is, how do I use this moment to peel back another layer? And simultaneously to realize that I may, not necessarily, but I may have the ability to change these circumstances. Assuming that a change of circumstances is still conducive to my spiritual unfolding, assuming that it's in the will of the divine, I may have the opportunity to change my circumstances through a shift in how I live, in how I think, in how I self-perceive. A shift in so much. I mean, there's so many things that we realize when we're hit with a tragic illness, that we realize that we need to work through and go through and look at and heal from. And so it may be the case that in the healing from those things, in the shifts that take place in the heart, in the mind, in the life, that we can co-create a shift in the situation. But while feeling fully empowered for that and fully in the awareness that everything is possible, it's also critical to realize that a lack of ability to change that around does not speak to a lack of your power to co-create, or a lack of your power to manifest, or a lack of your power to heal. Because sadly, these days, with so much beautiful, beautiful inspiration around the power of the mind, the power of meditation, the power of manifestation, along with so many beautiful teachings of that, we've gotten into a situation where, tragically, we feel like everything is due to how I've thought about it. And what that does is it creates a lot of guilt in people who are, for whatever karmic reason, it's not the right moment for them to create something different in their lives. And I hear so frequently people say, you know, I'm doing my affirmations, I'm doing my manifestation practices, I'm doing my meditation, and this illness isn't going, or this situation isn't changing. And then in addition to feeling down because of the situation, they also feel like a failure at this whole manifestation thing. And so it's really important to realize we're not living in a vacuum. We are threads in a tapestry of creation. And that which you are going to be able to manifest is that which is within the realm of your karmic journey. I mean, let's say that I decide right now that what I really want is to become a professional basketball player. Okay, like I want the LA Lakers to hire me. Okay? Now I'm 51, about 5'3" if I'm standing up really straight. I've never played basketball in my life. I could be the most committed student of basketball. I could spend 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day, dribbling and running and throwing and whatever else they do on a basketball court. And other than, you know, take your grandma to the ball game day, it's really unlikely that the LA Lakers are going to put me on the court. And I give that example because we forget when we talk about co-creation, when we talk about manifestation, we forget that we are a thread, a divine thread, a united, infinite thread with the infinity of creation. But we're not over here alone. And I've got a physical body, also part of my karmic journey, a physical history, like the fact that I've already lived 51 years, a physical history in which I've never dribbled, all of which has to be taken into consideration. You know, people come and they say, could you pray or give me a mantra or a sadhana to do so that I get into the university I want to get into, or I'm number one in the class, or people say, so my child gets into the university or gets this job. And the dilemma with thinking like that is it implies that somehow God is going to play favorites, because there's only a certain number of places in a university. There's only a certain number of places for the job that we want. And it's like saying, well, could you help me get God's favor over the other guy? And of course, God doesn't play favorites. And in the same way, when we look at aspects of the thread of our lives, we have to realize that we are part of a divine tapestry in which your illness is not just about you. There's a ripple impact upon those in your world that is giving them opportunities to peel back layers of their onion. That's giving them opportunities to dive so deep. To get closer to the divine in them. And so, it would be to hold both of these simultaneously. That A, it's all about the life in our days, not the days in our life. And to use those days, to use those moments, to wake up, to see the truth of you, to experience that within you which will never die, which is never sick. I mean, the truth of you was never born, will never die. Chapter 2 of the Bhagavad Gita is dedicated to this. Never born, never die. To connect with that. And at the same time, to recognize the power of you here to shift your situation. that we've been given the power of the divine in our minds, in our hearts, in that working of the soul through the body to change everything. And so it's a very beautiful, I don't want to say balance because that means they're separate, a blend, a coming together of the total acceptance of the plan in which this is your path to awakening. And simultaneously, a total embodiment of your power as the divine here in the body on earth to create and to create health. Because we all have that. And so your path is going to be a yes and of both of these. And it's not easy, as you know. And thank you for having the courage to go through this. It's, you know, yes, some of it is due to our past karma, but I also always believe that there's a, not just a cause and then effect, but sometimes what we have right now that seems like an effect is actually a cause for a later effect. And so I think sometimes about these amazing beings of light, suffering, illness, struggle, in order to teach and show the rest of us what this looks like when done by a divine being of light. You know, we were talking last night about the Ramayana and Lord Ram. And if you look at the Mahabharata and Lord Krishna, who are the two, you know, they're the two epics we have of God on earth. God comes on earth in the form of a human being. And in both cases, their lives are filled with nothing but struggle. In Krishna's case, his own uncle tries to kill him God knows how many times before he's, what, like 5, 6 years old? In Ram's case, his own stepmother sends him off into the jungle for 14 years, exiled. With nothing? He's a prince. Has to leave behind the clothes on his back also. Go in just like the bark of the tribal people. Nothing. And I've thought a lot about, you know, well, this is God coming on earth. Like, if God were going to come on earth, couldn't God create somewhat better circumstances and situations? Of course God could. God's God, right? But we've been given these on purpose, I think. Because the struggles, of course, don't end there. I mean, those are the big ones. But in Lord Ram's case, then of course he gets back, 14 years are over, Diwali is celebrated, it's beautiful, he's king, and then boom. Some washerman says, I don't believe your wife didn't sleep with the demon. And essentially she has to leave the kingdom. Even after she was proved to be totally pure, walks through fire, pure beyond a doubt, but just simply because his dharma as a king is to keep the kingdom happy, he has to live without his wife and children. So it's like circumstance after circumstance of just what seems like it would be misery. But it's been created, I believe, to teach us that even being God on earth is not an inoculation against bad things happening. So certainly being a good spiritual being is not an inoculation against bad things happening. There's nowhere it says, be a good spiritual being and you'll never get sick, you'll never die, your loved ones will never get sick or die, you'll never get divorced, you'll never get fired, your house will never burn down. Doesn't say that anywhere. We're given these examples of God on earth, struggle, turmoil, suffering. But what do they show us? How to do it. Krishna with his flute. Just the flute is on. And Ram is just this embodiment of Dharma, of righteousness, of peace, of love. So we're given these examples, I think, as a teaching that life is full of struggle and suffering. And let us all channel that inner divine within us to go through it. And I know that doesn't make it any easier. But thank you for the opportunity to dive into these truths with you.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. So, when I say the universe does not have a preference of success over failure, or wealth over poverty, or longevity over non-longevity, that doesn't mean there isn't an incredible intelligence in the universe. There's a divine intelligence in the universe, a divine wisdom in the universe that pervades everything. And it has a very clear wish, desire, which is that we all recognize the truth of who we are. Which is why, as I was saying, we get these circumstances that are the ones that are most likely to help us recognize that. So it's not that the universe is mindless, not at all. It's just that it has a much bigger goal in mind than thou shalt become CEO of your company. Thou shalt become a multimillionaire. I don't think it cares much about that. I think what it cares about is thou shalt wake up. Thou shalt experience the presence of soul in yourself, as yourself, and in others. And connect with the world, with the universe, soul to soul. There's an incredible intelligence. I have said many, many times, in fact, I agree with you fully, I've said many times that my belief in a divine creator has actually much more to do with science than it does with religion. I've spent way too much time in science laboratories to believe that this happened randomly. You know, you go into a chemistry lab or a biology lab and you've got your Bunsen burner and you've got your crucible and you've got your beakers and you've got the elements that you're supposed to put in the crucible and Bunsen burner goes on and something's supposed to happen. And most of the time what happens is nothing. Then you go back over where you made a mistake. Sometimes you get a bad smell. Sometimes you get, you know, some fire, maybe some nice color fire. You don't get life. And even today, billions and billions of years after this Big Bang of creation, with hundreds of years of modern science, we can't create life in a petri dish. You can take the best biologist in the world, the best botanist in the world, they can tell you exactly what this leaf is made of, how much hydrogen, how much nitrogen, how much carbon, how much oxygen, how much whatever is in there. They can even show you with little styrofoam balls and sticks how the molecules connect to each other. But they cannot create one in a petri dish. The very best, after billions of years of creation, hundreds of years of modern science, the best we've been able to do is essentially make a Xerox copy, right? We did a couple of clones. So we were able to Xerox something, but not create it. We can't create life as an amoeba in a petri dish. And so I'm a deep and ardent believer that there was a capital P planner. Yes, I believe in evolution. I believe in Darwinian evolution. But it's not random. There's a capital P planner who has set this in motion and whose hands, I believe, are holding it and holding us and infusing us with that creative power to be able to be these active members of the act of creation. So there is nothing mindless about it at all. It just has a much, much bigger, longer goal in mind than who's going to succeed, who's going to fail, who's going to be rich, who's going to be poor, who's going to be healthy, who's not going to be healthy, who's going to live a certain number of years this lifetime, who's going to not. You know, there's a beautiful teaching that says, if you imagine a mountain a mile high, a mile wide, mile high, mile wide mountain, and once every 100 years, a bird with a silk scarf in its beak passes by that mountain and brushes its silk scarf against the mountain once in 100 years. The amount of time that it would take that mile-high, mile-wide mountain to be eroded by the scarf is how long we have been doing this. how long we have been on our journeys of the soul. And so the path is a path that's much more than just particular manifestations of karma in this lifetime. And along with that, we have the power, the human birth is seen as the highest, the pinnacle of evolution for one reason and one reason only in my book, because animals are a lot higher than we are in a lot of ways, but in one way, which is it's said that only humans have the ability to be conscious of their own consciousness. And therefore, we are the only ones with the ability to actually attain that moksha, that liberation in this lifetime. So regardless of how long you've been doing it, right here, right now, we have that power. It's why we've been given a human birth. We have that power to have that experience of that infinite soul, of the self. And it's totally independent of the number of years we have here, of what any other aspect of our life situation may be. And so we use that and grab it. And if for whatever reason doesn't happen for you this time, you decide not ready to let go of that which is keeping me from it, that's okay. So I say the universe is infinitely patient. No problem. You've got next life. But why? Let's make use of this beautiful opportunity.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mike Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with inspiration and transformation. A lot of us do that. We approach our spirituality the same way that we approach, you know, running on a treadmill or running not on a treadmill. You begin with a certain number of miles at a certain pace, and then you go every day, and eventually after a certain number of days or weeks, you should be able to increase your time, increase your speed, increase your angle. Then you know you're getting better. If you weightlift, you should be able to lift more weights after a month of weightlifting. Then you know you're getting better. And so when we start on a spiritual path, a lot of us apply the same thing to it. But it actually isn't like that. Spirituality is not about getting better and better. It's about getting more and more real. Being more and more in tune with your true self, which is peaceful, which is joyful, which is divine, which is abundant. And so, yes, naturally, of course, you will find that you are blossoming in ways that you could consider better, but not because you've developed some new skill, but simply because you are uncovering more and more of your true nature. And because you're less stuck with the things that take away your peace and take away your joy. So I try not to ever think, you know, how am I doing? It's so tempting. I mean, it's so tempting to be able to somehow label ourselves. Ah, you're doing great. You can skip meditation for a little while, right? It's like, I've been so good on my diet, I can have a blueberry muffin. Or we say, oh, God, you've been awful, you haven't been doing it well. And then it's just yet another reason to berate ourselves. Yet just another reason to judge ourselves. Neither way is it positive or helpful. So I try to avoid that at all costs, but I would say if you are looking for a way to at least gently know whether you're at least on the right path, because that's a question that arises similar to this, is, so I've been doing these practices. How do I know if I'm on the right path? Is this the right path for me? And again, there's no equation, but there's some guideposts that you could use. For example, do you find yourself getting angry less frequently or more frequently? Less frequently? Sounds like you're on the right path. Do you find yourself more and more grateful? Or do you find yourself more and more frustrated and feeling like you are lacking? Spiritual development is going to make you feel more and more grateful because you're more and more aware of the fullness of yourself. You're more and more living in that truth of yourself, which is full. So you will be grateful. Do you find yourself more and more inclined to help others and give to others? Or do you find yourself more and more looking for what others can do for you? The more we develop and evolve spiritually, the more we realize, number one, that the other is self. And so just like we serve ourself, right? My leg itches, I scratch it. My tummy is empty and growling, I feed it. The body is tired, I put it to sleep. We take care of it. So in the same way, we start to see others as self. And therefore, we start serving them. So these are just some very gentle guideposts. Watch how frequently you get angry. Watch how grateful you find yourself. How easy is your gratitude practice? Watch whether your internal instinct is to share and to give, to serve, or is it to grab and to get? Start to notice how easily, or not easily, you're able to choose love and choose peace, no matter what's going on around you. So when we are spiritually undeveloped, our internal state is pretty much determined by the external state. In Hindi, we call the external state paristhiti. And our internal state, our swasthiti. So if I'm spiritually undeveloped, my swastiti, my internal state, is going to depend on external state. Things are good, people are nice to me, everything I want is happening according to plan, my internal state is good. Things are not happening according to plan. People are not being so nice to me. I'm not getting what I want. My internal state is miserable. The more spiritually developed you are, the less your internal state is hooked into the external state. The more you are able to automatically experience, generate, manifest, live in an internal state, regardless of what's happening around you. It's that peace in the chaos or that noiselessness in the noise. You're able to find something inside that doesn't need the external world to validate it. So those are some just signposts you can use as you're looking. But, you know, you're human and you're having a human experience as part of a karmic journey. And so go easy on yourself. You know, if you find that today you got more angry, okay, no problem. Tomorrow will be different. Keep watching yourself, but with gentleness, with love, with awareness that you may be having a bad week. Something may be going on. Because we are still in these human bodies and things as unconnected to our spiritual growth as how much sleep we're getting. What's happening with our hormones, especially for women, but also for men. What the weather is like. What we've been eating. If we've been eating good, nourishing food, or if we've been on the road, forced to eat junk. And these things actually have an impact. And a lot of those signposts, they have an impact on our emotional state and our mental state. And so, notice yourself, be aware, frequently, every day if you can. But do it gently. If you notice that there's a period of time in which things seem to be going in the wrong direction, don't beat yourself up about it. It literally could be something as simple as a new neighbor next door who makes so much noise that you're just not getting enough sleep at night. Look at other factors in your life as well. And then if you decide that maybe something needs to be adjusted in your spiritual practice, so you come for a spiritual retreat. You get a spiritual tune-up. Charge the battery, as Pooja Swamiji says.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like
Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation. How do we stop expecting from our loved ones or the results from our actions? Simply by realizing that it doesn't serve us. There's a term called buddhi. Buddhi means intellect. My ability to use my brain in a good way, hopefully. Introspection, contemplation. This is that which strengthens and purifies our buddhi, our intellect. Now, you have something like expectation. We all expect. It's part of the human condition. If I'm really nice to you, I expect that you're going to be nice back to me. If I treat you with love and care, I expect that you're going to treat me with love and care. If I work really hard for something, really earnestly and sincerely for something, I expect that it's going to bear some kind of good fruit, that there's going to be a positive result from it. These are normal expectations. So the first part is recognize that it's natural to have them. But also just using the power of your introspection and contemplation, ask yourself, does that actually make it any more likely to happen? No. And when it doesn't happen, all those expectations do is make me more upset. And so purely through a process of what we would call jnana yoga, the yoga, or jnana marga, the path of jnana, of wisdom, through that I realize these expectations are actually hurting me more than they're helping me. You're no more likely to be nice to me because I expect it than if I didn't expect it. You're no more likely to love me back just because I expect you to. The universe is no more likely to give me what I expect. And so simply remind yourself. Be very scientific about it. Okay, so I expected this, it didn't happen, my expectation didn't serve me. Because of course when we expect something and it doesn't happen, then we're really upset. I mean, it's bad enough that someone's not nice to you or doesn't act lovingly to you. That's bad enough as it is. But when you expected that they would be nice to you and then they're not, then it's a double whammy because then I'm hurt that they weren't nice and I'm hurt because my expectation has not been fulfilled. So I'm doubly miserable. And just allow yourself to see that. To see that some bit of your misery is in response to the way they treated you and how you've reacted to that. But a huge percentage of your misery is actually due to the fact that you expected them to be different and that expectation wasn't fulfilled. So the minute that with clear eyes we can realize, my God, it's much more my own expectations than someone else's actions that actually cause me misery, we start to be able to be free of them. I mean, think about it. You walk down the road And there's somebody on the corner who is yelling all kinds of obscenities. And you walk by and this person yells all sorts of obscenities at you. Does it ruin your day? No, right? You realize, all right, the guy is crazy or under the influence or having a bad morning or whatever it may be. But you didn't have any expectation about this guy. It's not going to ruin your morning. Sure, there may be like a moment of, you know, kind of that was weird energy and you sort of get that out. But the day goes on. There's no misery. But if you go home and the person you're expecting to greet you with wide open arms and love starts shouting obscenities when you walk in the house, well, then not just the day, but the week is ruined. Because we had such an expectation of what they're going to be like. And that's where just simply through the process of clear thought, we realize, my God, it's my expectations that are causing me misery. And so you start to let them go. And it doesn't mean that you become a pessimist. It's not that you expect that people are going to shout obscenities at you. But you simply realize that it's not in your hands. The only thing in your hands is your own reaction to them. That's the only thing you have any control over. That which you generate from the inside. And so focus much more on that than how everybody else is acting and behaving. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, one of the very core teachings is do your best, do it with full sincerity, full commitment, but do not have any expectation about what the result of that's going to be. Do not be attached in any way, shape, or form to the fruits of it. Plant your seeds. Plant them with care, with love, with time, with energy, with thought. But you have no control over what sprouts, what flowers, what grows. That's all in God's hands, in the universe's hands. And so we let go. Because we realize the expectation is just a path to misery. And when it does happen, because remember, we're still human, it's going to happen. The moment that sting starts, that internal sense of, ugh, you just remember, oh yeah, that sting is because I had expected something so different. And shift your focus immediately in that moment from what that person did to how you can respond differently. Can you find love in this moment even though that person did not act the way you thought they should? And if you can't find love in this moment for them, that's okay. Can you find love in this moment for anyone or anything? Can you just manifest love from within? Because that's going to transform your inner experience. From lack to abundance. From feeling like you didn't get what you needed to recognizing that you have more than you need. And when you do that, that love will then extend into them as well. And it just makes for much nicer relationships, much more peaceful, joyful, grounded, anchored. existences here on planet Earth. Because everything other than our own actions, our own thoughts, is ultimately out of our hands. So we offer it with our love, with our best intentions, with our commitment that we will keep serving and acting and loving and as we should, but that my internal sense isn't going to change based on what's happening outside.
This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week. And I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on OM Times Radio.